Thank you. Sense gratification and liberation. Svarga, elevation of heavenly planets. Appavarga, free from material contamination. Prayana, almost always. Eka, one. Atmya, supreme personality of Godhead. Hetuna, on account of. Translation, although abominable persons like my father, Vena, the grandson of death personified, are bewildered on the path of religion. All the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world the only bestower of benedictions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, or elevation of heavenly planets is the supreme personality of Godhead. Reporting, Vena, the father of Prithu Maharaj, was condemned by the Brahmanas and saintly persons because he was denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and rejecting the method of satisfying him by performing a Vedic sacrifice. In other words, he was an atheist who did not believe in the existence of God and who constantly stopped all Vedic ritualistic ceremonies in his kingdom. Prithu Maharaj considered King Vena's character abominable because Vena was foolish regarding the execution of religious performances. Atheists are of the opinion that there is no need to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of God to be successful in religion, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. According to them, Dharma or religious principles are meant to establish an imaginary God to encourage one to become moral, honest, or just so that the social orders may be maintained in peace and tranquility. Furthermore, they say that actually there's no need to accept God for this purpose, for if one follows the principles of morality and honesty, that's sufficient. Similarly, if one makes nice plans and works very hard for economic development, automatically the result of economic development will come. Similarly, sense gratification also does not depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. For if one earns enough money by any process, one will have sufficient opportunity for sense gratification. Insofar as liberation is concerned, they say that there's no need to talk of liberation because after death everything is finished. Prithu Maharaj, however, did not accept the authority of such atheists headed by his father, who was the grandson of death personified. Generally, a daughter inherits the qualities of her father, and the son gets the qualities of his mother. Thus, Mrityu's daughter, Sunita, had all the qualities of her father, and Vena inherited the qualities of his mother. A person who is always subject to the rules and regulations of repeated birth and death cannot accommodate anything beyond materialistic ideas. Since King Vena was such a man, he did not believe in the existence of God. Modern civilization agrees with the principles of King Vena, but factually, if we scrutinize and study all the conditions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, we must accept the principles of the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Vedic literature, religion consists only of the codes of law given by God. If one does not accept the authority of the Supreme Godhead in matters of religion and morality, one must explain why two persons of the same moral standard achieve different results. It is generally found that even if two men have the same moral standards of ethics, honesty, and morality, their positions are still not the same. Similarly, in economic development, it is seen that if two men work very hard day and night, still the results are not the same. One person may enjoy great opulence without even working, whereas another person, although working very hard, does not even get two sufficient meals a day. Similarly, in the matter of sense gratification, sometimes one who has sufficient food is still not happy in his family affairs, or sometimes is not even married. Whereas another person, even though not economically well off, has greatest opportunity for sense gratification. Even an animal like the hog or dog may have greater opportunities for sense gratification than a human being. Aside from liberation, even if we consider only the preliminary necessities of life, dharma, artha, and kama, we will see that they are not the same for everyone. Therefore, it must be accepted that there is someone who determines the different standards. In conclusion, not only for liberation must one depend on the Lord, but even for ordinary necessities in this material world. Prithu Maharaj therefore indicated that in spite of having rich parents, children are sometimes not happy. Similarly, in spite of valuable medicine administered by a competent physician, sometimes the patient dies, or in spite of having a big safe boat, sometimes the man drowns. We may thus struggle to counteract impediments offered by material nature, but our attempts cannot be successful unless we are favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: although abominable persons like my father, vain of the grandson of death personified, are bewildered in the path of religion, all the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world, the only bestower of the benedictions of religion, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, or elevation to the heavenly planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the previous verse spoke of previous authorities who, by their conduct, illustrated that they were following the injunctions of Scripture. So, those injunctions involve artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. So, this is what the Varnashram system promotes. On the lower levels, gunas are there, so people are satisfied with artha and kama. But in order to do that, they should also follow dharma. And then if one comes to sattva-gun, one can go for moksha. So these are the ordinary aspects of the varnashram system. However, Prithu Maharaj also indicated that one must also worship the Supreme Lord. So this process of karma yoga or varnashram is not independent of worship of the Lord. So its results, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, depend upon devotion to the Lord. So none of these processes can be devoid of bhakti. So that means they are not independent. So Prabhupada here in the purport explains that one can have a varnashram system without God, and we're going to have dharma without God, and have all sorts of honesty and principles of conduct, etc., and try to keep everyone prosperous and work hard, etc., and follow occupations. But that is not real varnashram, because the Lord is not worshipped. So that is essential in the real varnashram system. So everything is dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So not only karma yoga and varnashram, but jnana yoga for liberation, astanga yoga for liberation, they're also dependent upon the Supreme Lord ultimately. So there has to be worship of the Lord in all these different processes. So for protecting the people in general, we have the kings like Prithu and his forefathers, which were mentioned, Swayambhuva and others, Priyavrata, Dhruva Maharaj, etc. They were kings. So for the population at large, who are basically in Tamagun, they instituted this system of artha, dharma, kama, and moksha for them as a general principle. And we'll see that throughout the day of Brahma, the different Manus and their descendants rule over the earth and establish these principles. but cannot be devoid of worship of the Lord in any case. So all of these processes are related to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in this verse, he makes a statement here that Varga, Svarga, Apavarga, Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, going to Svargaloka, and getting liberation, and getting material benefits, all of this is ultimately dependent upon Ekatmya Hetuna, Supreme Lord. So nothing is independent of worship of the Supreme Lord. Point, however, is that though this is the system, it is not the final system. The final process is bhakti, which is independent and not dependent upon these processes. So sometimes we may think that bhakti is dependent on following all these other rules of varna and ashrama, etc. It is not. Those rules are dependent on bhakti. It's the opposite. We cannot have both going on simultaneously. So everything is dependent on bhakti, and bhakti is not dependent on these processes. So that, of course, is the worship of the Lord in the varnashram system, but we don't call that bhakti yoga because it's not the major interest of the people involved. They are interested in artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. But they must follow bhakti also. So when we're not interested in artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, but only the Supreme Lord, and we do hearing, chanting, remembering, deity worship, etc., that is called bhakti. And these other things are all secondary. We may or may not do them. We're not attached to them. So that is the process of bhakti. So you must distinguish between these different names. You cannot say that karma yoga is equal to bhakti yoga. No. Specifically different. Different because of the degree in which bhakti is a factor. So in karma yoga, it's a little factor, but necessary factor. In bhakti, it is a major factor, and everything else is minor. So that is the difference. So in the varnashram system, that bhakti may simply consist of offering the results of your work to the Lord. In bhakti, the actions are hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., which are quite different from simply offering the results to the Lord. So, ultimately, though Bhagavatam traces all these kings, etc., we'll find that ultimately it ends up, the whole tracing of these lineages is to come to the point of the end of Dwarpa Yuga, when through these lines of kings, finally, Krishna appears. And of course the other avatars also appear in between. And then finally Krishna appears. Though these stories of the kings are related and all the different avatars like Prithu are related here, ultimately the final form of worship is Krishna. And this has been stated already in the first canto of all the forms mentioned there of avatars. The final form is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So Krishna has disappeared, but Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of Bhagavatam. So the essence of Bhagavatam is finding to worship Krishna, not Vishnu, not any of these other avatars. Yet, all of these things are mentioned in the 3rd canto, 4th canto, 5th canto, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 11th and 12th canto. All these other topics are mentioned, the manvantaras and creation, destruction, sthana, Poshana, Uti, etc., Mukti, they're all related to the appearance of Krishna. Everything is included in Krishna, finally. So, if we worship Krishna, everything else is taken care of. Whatever we can get from Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga is within Bhakti Yoga. The results of all of these are in Bhakti Yoga. It is independent of the process. It includes all the results of the process. And it has more. Whatever the other processes give, bhakti can give, but bhakti gives something that the other processes cannot give. So karma yoga is limited to material results. That's all. So you can get good material results and elevate yourself in the material world, finally go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka. That's all. Karma Yoga can do nothing more than that. Can't get out of the material world. And if you do Jnana Yoga with a little bhakti, yes, you can get liberation. If you do it without bhakti, you can stay in Sattva-guna maybe. If you do yoga with bhakti, then you can also get liberation. Get out of the material world. So you stop birth and death. If you do bhakti, you can also go to Svargaloka. Or you can get Dhruvaloka. Dhruva went beyond Brahmaloka. Or you can get liberation also. But devotees don't want either. They don't want to go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or get liberation. They don't want any of that. They can get it, but they don't want that. So what do they want? Service to the Lord. That's all. Eternal service to the Lord. So that is what they get. When they get eternal service to the Lord, they get a spiritual body in the spiritual world. So automatically they're liberated. No more birth and death. What do they get? Sharsti, Samipya, Salokya, Sarupya. So they get better than Svargaloka or Brahmaloka. They get more facilities than either of these. So whatever in Karma Yoga, they get something better. Whatever is in liberation, they get something better. So this is achieved through pure bhakti. And only pure bhakti. If we do mixed bhakti, we can get something of the same result, but it's a little different. What is the difference? If we do pure bhakti, we establish a relationship of service with the Lord. If we don't, and we mix it, we have a relationship which is very, very weak. So, very minimal service. That's the difference. So finally, in terms of result, pure bhakti will give the best result. And other processes, mixed bhakti and other processes, will give lesser and lesser and lesser results consequently. So that is the basic understanding we should have in reading all these things in the Bhagavatam. When we worship the Lord, we choose the form of Krishna rather than Brahma, or Narasimha, or Parasuram, or Varaha, etc. Why? Because of all the different forms, even though they're all one God, Krishna manifests all the qualities in both. So, whatever qualities are in Nrsimhadeva, Krishna can manifest. Whatever qualities are in Rama, Krishna can manifest. But, Krishna manifests qualities which are not in Narasimha, not in Rama, not in all the other forms. They may be there, but they don't manifest. Such as, Krishna performs Rasa Lila. Rama does not do that. Nrsimhadeva does not do that. Krishna plays the flute. They don't do that. So many, many aspects of Krishna which are not there in the other forms. So because of that that completeness, Krishna is called Swayam Bhagavan. Nothing is created. None of the forms are created. They're all eternal. But Krishna is the complete manifestation. And everything is in Him. So when Krishna appears in the material world, all the avatar forms merge in His body also. So they're all there already. All the avatar forms are with them. All the avatar forms mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam are there when Krishna appears. The Vishnu is also there within Him. And when Krishna ends His pastimes, then they go back to their respective lokas again. So in this way, Krishna is complete. Complete and perfect. Therefore, He is the ideal object of worship through the process of Suddha Bhakti or pure bhakti. So, of course, when we do sadhana, it's not really pure bhakti because we have desires and artas, ahankar, etc. But if we make an effort to exclude material desires, desires for liberation, etc., then we call that sadhana bhakti, but it is also Suddha bhakti, even though literally it's not pure. So we follow the process of sadhana with the intention of purity, then we attain that goal. If we perform our bhakti with some intentions of getting also material benefits out of all of this, or liberation or whatever, then that's called mixed bhakti. So Therefore, we have to have very clear intentions in our process of bhakti. To do that, we have to have a clear mind and understand the difference between pure bhakti and mixed bhakti, the difference between Krishna and other forms of God. Knowledge about distinction of the different aspects of God, Brahman, Paraman, and Bhagavan. So all of this we have to get through reading the scriptures. We make distinction and we have to use our intelligence to do that. Then we follow the practice of bhakti, pure bhakti, and we get the final result. So that is the message, final message given in Bhagavatam.
Shri Maharaj was not emphasizing so much on bhakti yoga. He was talking about Ranaishwar system.
Yeah.
About them is meant for bhakti yoga.
Yeah.
Versus Krishna.
Yeah.
But why then he didn't mention?
Because they're following the, tracing the lineages of all the kings and all the avatars at the beginning of the Bhagavatam. These sages requested, you please tell us about all the forms of the Lord, etc. And then Bhagavatam, of course, is a Purana and it follows a certain subject matter, such as creation and destruction and tracing the Manus and the lines of the kings. These are topics of a Purana. So within that structure, Vasudeva pointed out Krishna as supreme and made him the main subject. And so the other subjects are still there, but supporting Krishna. So all processes, as I said, are included in bhakti. All forms of God are included in Krishna. And that is the final understanding.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave straight away the bhakti yoga.
Yeah, and rejected everything else. And of course, Bhagavatam also does that ultimately. We look in the Bhagavatam and everything else is rejected. Kapila Dev says that. Narada Muni says that. They all say that. It's all Sukadeva says that. Finally, everything is rejected.
Now, as you said, we have to, even if we make efforts to exclude the material benefits and liberation, next bhakti and to cure the efforts for cure. But this ankar and all are very subtle, we cannot even understand that we got some.
Well, through the process of bhakti, that is all destroyed. The effect of bhakti is to destroy ahankara, desires, and karma. So that happens with the process of bhakti itself. One goes through the sraddha, bhajana kriya, anartana vritti, nishtaruchi, and sakti, and then that, gradually, everything is destroyed.
Could you tell me about Guru Loka? Is it higher? They told it's higher than Brahma Loka.
Yeah.
Is it a Vaikuntha planet?
No, it's not a Vaikuntha planet, but it lasts, it's above Brahma Loka, and lasts for the whole duration of the universe.
And all the people there are liberated souls?
Well, great devotees, and because they're great devotees, then they go to the spiritual world.
But Vaikuntha, we worship Vishnu with all reference. Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Bhakti yoga means
no
reverence.
No, two types of bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti and Raghunuga bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti means all in reverence. So you go to Vaikuntha. Raghunuga is for Krishna and Vrindavan. So then you go to Gopur.
Is it possible to do it slowly, slowly, very as we are doing?
It's not automatic. If one becomes very attached to Vaidhi Bhakti, one can do Vaidhi Bhakti and attain Bhava and Prema at Vaidhi Bhakti and then go to Vaikuntha or Aishwarya Galoka. Where Krishna is there, but you worship him in awe and reverence. Like in Dwarka. Yeah, that's what it means. And then through that, one develops a mood of reverence for the Lord. So, if one goes to, through Vaidhi Bhakti, goes to Bhava, then of course one has the direct vision of the Lord, so the rules and regulations will be much less, etc., will be spontaneity. But still, there's reverence for the Lord and understanding that He is God. So then this realization will interfere with the relationship one has in Vrindavan.
we can only get it. Raganagat, sure, Raganagat.
The mercy of devotees, mercy of Krishna, when one is qualified.
The question is, from where you get devotional, either from chanting or association, or
both are connected. Ultimately from Krishna.
When we hear about other avatars, past times I read about them, generally it is said that we should only worship Krishna and hear about most about him. So what should be our attitude when we are hearing Ramchandra's past times?
So we understand that they are all connected to Krishna, because whatever qualities we see, they are also in Krishna.
ஒரு ஃப்ளவர்
ஹம்